Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back to the Lenten Rouge Cycling Podcast. You can't say that we don't earn our keep working in the new year, bringing you the Astana Kazakhstan preview, the worst world tour team this year by a considerable margin, with one world tour win, but most importantly for them, a real lack of UCI points. They, 200 points behind Arkea Samsic and the 20th team on the ranking, meaning that they got a lot of ground to make up, 2,000 points behind DSM. And yeah, we'll go through their transfers, the outlook for this team, and I guess their prospects for the future. But yes, what else happened there 2023, Benji?
Well, it wasn't great. Let's say that. It wasn't a great season for Astana, and that is also partially because, one, they didn't perform across the board. It was mainly in certain areas of the team that someone would perform every now and then. And let's start off with the big name here, Mark Cavendish. Obviously joined the team with the aim of winning a Tour de France stage and couldn't succeed in doing that. He crashed out of the Tour de France before they got to Paris. But he did win a stage of the Giro, and that's their only World Tour victory in 2023. So one World Tour victory of 16 victories. They've got a bunch of like dot pro wins, like in the Tour de Langkawi with Gleb Siriza, and then went in Sicilia with Lutsenko and so forth. So they've got some victories like that, but from a World Tour team, we expect more. We said the same about Arkea. Yes, their team isn't spectacular at this point, but we expect more from a World Tour team, and that wasn't necessarily delivered. And outside of that, Cavendish winning the Giro stage, he was close to a Tour de France stage, to be honest. That stage where he had shifting issues, where he was ahead and then Philipsen got to his wheel and overtook him. I think that was stage 7. He got second there, so he was close. So it's not unrealistic for Cavendish to potentially win a Tour de France stage. But we'll go into that discussion after we go through the transfers and so forth. But Lutsenko, 5th at Amstel Gold Race, so he's not washed. Velasco, 5th at Montreal, that's a really good result. Battistella, 9th at Bologna. Yeah, I'm having to dig pretty deep to find results here, so don't judge me, okay?
Lutsenko won Tour of Turkey.
Yeah, you did. You want to stage
and he won
as
the
well?
Stage up Babadag. The hardest climb of the year, Babadag. Yeah.
That's a massive climb. Hardest climb of the year, but is it also not the hardest climb we've seen in a very long time?
I think so. What was it?
18 kilometers.
At 8% or 9%. 10%. It actually wasn't that entertaining. they just rode like threshold, and then whoever had the high threshold won. Like, it wasn't actually that entertaining, but still, it was good to see something different, but I'm not sure I want to see it every day. He also won Circuito de Getxo, which is a nice race before San Sebastian, and Velasco was third there. So he and Velasco are probably the best riders in terms of points on the team.
Good with Cavendish.
Together with Cavendish. Cavendish was probably better than expected. He was, but yeah, Lutsenko, 1,500 points. If I can just filter. Velasco, 900. Cavendish, 850. So they were the top three riders on the team. Yeah. And Javier Roma was good. He progressed well. But there was, when was the rider list that got drawn up that were going to get terminated because they weren't taking it seriously enough? Was that in 22 or 23?
I think that was earlier than 2023. I think this wasn't in 2023. So there was some drama in the past about their riders, but I don't think that really led into 2023. But I do want to mention, wasn't there also that victory in Arctic Race of Norway from the guy that just got unsuspended from doping the day
before? Gazzoli.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, so he was unsuspended after a ban of a year on the 9th of August, I think.
And it was like a Schilmoser type thing from memory.
Yeah, and he won a stage on the 18th of August. So like a week later.
That was actually a good sprint. Like
it was.
that was not against just scrubs. It was against Johannesson, Dylan Turns. It was surprising, yeah. But he actually looks quite decent, Gasoli. And he'll probably kick on a little bit. But yeah, not the best year. I think they weren't that good in 22 either, from memory. They still got 16 wins, so they're still winning, and that's not all Kazakh races.
Mate,
they're still
5 wins last year, 0 welter wins.
Wait, what?
2022. 0 welter Man, wins, 5 wins.
They are lucky the relegation cycles cut that off, because if next year was the third and final year, they would be completely fucked. And where they... Yeah, sorry, go on.
They had Lopez and Nibali in the team back then.
Yeah, well, Nibali, come on now.
They got 4th in 2 Grand Tours, Latenga got 8th, so they did...
True,
Nibali
was not
though.
Washed. I apologize. Nibali in the Giro was good. Yeah. No, I just forgot. Rude. And in Sicily is okay.
Shame.
Lopez... Yeah, but Lopez fucking abandoned the Giro on the fourth stage. We all know why now. And got kicked off the team. So he didn't help that much. They had money issues. The team's had money issues. I say that in past tense because when I look at their budget for this transfer window,
yeah,
and I look at Antomarche's and some other teams like FDJ, I don't think Astana has had the smallest transfer spend this year in the transfer window, which means I can be a bit harsher in that this team is going to cease to exist in 2026. Because of this transfer window. This transfer window has fucked this team completely. They have gone all in on trying to cobble together a lead out with Cavendish. I can tell you right now, Davide Ballerini's not riding for free. Zelig, Merku aren't neopros on the minimum. Kanter might have had a few other options. Schelling definitely had other options. Anton Sharmik, these are not minimum contract guys. And I just don't see... And it's obvious... They're trying to put together a lead out for Cav. They also extended Bol, right? Because he was on a 1 year.
Yeah.
Where the hell do they think they're getting points?
That's a good question. And like, if we take a look at the outgoing transfers first, I won't say that the outgoing transfers are irreplaceable either. So that's a good starting point, but I do agree with your take on the incoming transfers. So Sanchez retires, Zaitz retires, Bowaro retires, Martinelli retires, and the Carp of Messina, Antonio Nibali, retires as well. So that's 5 riders that are gone from this team that I don't necessarily see as irreplaceable, but are in the heart of the team, though, because like they've been a part of this team for quite a while, and Sanchez went in and out a few times, but they've been in this team for a while. Martin Laas goes to Ferrari Quick Panda Podium Mongolia team. That's an epic transfer. I didn't expect that to happen. Ryaboshenko doesn't know where he's going. Leonardo Basso, Natarov, Nulikasim, those riders together with Dombrowski don't have a specified team next. Are you shocked by the fact that Dombrowski, 32 years old, is suddenly having difficulties finding a contract?
He won a stage in the Giro 2 years ago, but he didn't really do much this year.
Yeah.
I don't know. 78 race days, probably not the best program. I mean, he's also had a 10-year, 11-season World Tour career. Yeah. So...
He can't complain too much.
Yeah.
De La Cruz?
De La Cruz is the one where I'm... That's surprising. I'm not sure if they made him an offer because he was... If you send him to the right schedule, he can score some GC points for this team.
Yeah.
And he was scraping together a contract and was struggling to get one. Where did he sign in the end? Q365 for on a 1 year. This guy was attacking on stage 14 of the Vuelta when Ayuso attacked, and he came sixth on that stage and he couldn't get a contract. I don't know if his asking price was too high. I doubt it. So I don't know what teams are looking at. I think Quickstep should have signed him as well on the cheap. He's already had success there.
The good old return to Quickstep.
Because, like, as a domestique, on a 2-year, I don't care that he can't sprint. I don't care that he can't win. at 34 years old, oh, he's too old. No, they just got aerobic threshold, ride the front at threshold for Remco. Like, that's your job. Yep. So it doesn't matter that he can't do the other stuff at 34.
Talking about Quickstep, Moscon is going there. Yep. And I still don't hate that transfer at all. Like,
he might have been on a fair bit of money at Astana.
Probably. Like, he's a bit of a questionable character. That's obvious. But that doesn't deny that this is a really good gamble from Quickstep on his performance abilities. It wasn't 2 years ago that he nearly won Roubaix outside of the flats he had and the crash. So there's just so many riders leaving this team. Romo is going to Movistar. That's one where I'm wondering if we're judging these transfers more on who did Astana let them go versus did these riders want to go because the performance culture at Astana wasn't good enough. Because Romo was good at Burgos, 7th in GC, but maybe he wants more than that.
I don't know. He was on their naughty list as well from memory with Moscon in 2022. Very, very good rider, and it seemed to take Movistar a while to get him on the books, and then Cofidis was rumoured. But yeah, that's the sort of young guy you would think for the next 2 years they'd want on the team. He's very good. So it's not looking too good. Well, I agree. Like, not many of those outgoings are irreplaceable. Romo's the best prospect. Like, frankly, most of them are not performing that well and cost a fair bit, probably Lewis Leon and Moscon. But then the incoming Spengy, there's not a lot of riders over 10. A few from the development team. Gazzoli, I think, is quite good. He's going to be not on too much money. He'll be fine. Harold Lopez, Vinokurov, son of Nicholas Vinokurov, is the son of Vinokurov. And then there's some other Kazakhs, Marukin, Kuzmin. They'll be sort of targeting Asian champs where there's a lot of points and Kazakh national champs, etc. They'll need to target those. But of the established pro guys, Benji, this leadout is old. I don't know, Rüdiger Zelig, he must have a good agent.
Yeah, I agree.
He must have a good agent.
When it comes to Mirko, I understand the connection. Cavendish is used to riding with Mirko back in the day. He knows that it worked. It's only 2 years ago. It's not out of the question that this resurrects in some shape or form. If Mirko can get to the level required and Cavendish can get to the level required, they have the chemistry, they have the proven chemistry. I don't know how much the environment in Quickstep, the sprinting coaches and so forth, impact the ability of their working together here, but Ballerini coming to the team, I vividly remember a sprint in, was it Tirreno, where Jakobsen lost Ballerini's wheel, or Ballerini lost Jakobsen in his wheel, and that didn't really go well. So I don't remember the great lead outs that Ballerini did, but he doesn't chart like the last man, so, which is fine, because Marco's here. I don't necessarily hate Ballerini joining. He's not completely washed, but I also don't see him as the best potential option for this role necessarily. And Rüdiger Zelig, Zelig, honestly, I really respect the guy. This was one of the leadouts with a heart, you know? Like, when they were crashing the last kilometer, he was the kind of guy that would step off the bike and take a look if those guys were actually injured. Remember Skeldeprez? Was it the crash where Arvid Deklein did something? Akkerman and Arvid Deklein, I think, was the combination, but I might be wrong. And I swear that part of his aspect I like, but I feel like when it comes to performance, he's dipped out a tiny bit towards the end of his career. And I'm indeed worried that he won't be able to deliver on the level necessary. But if all these three are at their peak of their career suddenly, then they can perform. But that's a very big, very big if, because they haven't shown that recently. They haven't shown it in 2023. And outside of them, Max Kanter, I don't see when it comes to lead out. He has limited experience in doing so, and I feel like he's always shown to want a little bit for himself as well. So his own sprints, kind of like his ball, you know? Like, they still want their own sprints somewhere, which it's fine. Astana can use any depth they need, because they don't have the depth in their team, but I also don't think he'll move the needle necessarily. So that's my view on these sprinters. And then I look at the other riders, and I like Schelling. I think that's a rider you want to sign if you're a team. Do I think it's a perfect fit, Schelling plus Astana? In my head, not necessarily, but I don't see it out of the question that he top 10s Amstel again, for example, in those kind of races, you know, that he sprints in a an uphill sprint in Catalonia or Basque Country again. So he probably won't be washed, and it wouldn't shock me that the highest potential of his culling transfers but is a Grand Tour stage win, no?
Yeah, I mean, they'll be hoping for sort of, I think, what those five-day 2.0 Pro GC races, like a Belgium tour. Can he top 10 them get as well? Top five, he's done that in the past. They've got Sharmik, who's from Uno X, 25-year-old GC rider. Is he GC rider or just, I mean, man, he had a lot of races, 30 race days. Yeah, climbing type. He had some nice results in the Valenciana again. Not sure he's moving the needle too much. So, have you mentioned Fortunato?
I have not.
The Zonkerland winner from Yola Cometa moves over on a 2-year, 27 years old. He's actually all right in the two drop, the soft non World Tour GC races. He's not bad. He's not bad. He won Asturias. Yeah.
Like, he has something in him. He got 15 Lombardia 2 years ago, though, so it's not exactly a step forward in that sense, but I feel like Fortunato stagnated. It's how I view it.
Yeah.
When it comes to the Giro, he didn't perform at the level that he was required to do, to be honest. 21st in GC, you don't... Sorry, but if your name is Fortunato, you don't step out of bed for that. And I don't know. I feel like your goal with him is trying to get a Giro stage or something in combination with the Giro di Sicilia kind of GCs, those kind of races.
Yeah, true.
The reality is that I currently don't see him at the rate at the level to win a Giro stage based on 2023, which he needs to step forward from that. Which from Aiolo to Astana, pretty same coloring kit. Aiolo's kit is changing, so we'll recognize Astana better. Yeah, I don't see this transfer being the godly resolution to the problems that Astana has either. And then I look at others, and Harold Martin Lopez comes from the Def team. I remember this guy from somewhere. Was he not top 10 in Burgos somewhere? I think he rode for the Astana Pro team there. Yeah, he was. Actually, a really good result. 23 years old. So that's a really good result, but he didn't really replicate that at any other part in the season. So you need to be able to find that result, that level consistently, you know?
There's also Santiago Umba, who was supposed to be the next Egan Bernal, but he's actually not. He's actually
AliExpress.
Fool you once, fool me twice. A Quadro Ineos with Ivan Sosa. they did not dip grip in for Santiago Umba. So he's like 50 kilos. So he...
Fifth on Stelvio in Giro Next Gen. So not terrible. He's still got talent.
Yeah, but not terrible, but...
Not the second coming
off Jesus
Christ.
That's his stage, right? Quintana, you know, and Bernal, Sosa was cleaning that.
Yeah.
And then maybe struggling on the flatter stages. He's fifth on that stage. So then Avenir just got pumped. So I wouldn't expect too much from him. Henok Muluburan is actually a good signing, I think. He has if they let him do the African races and some national champs and even... He's not bad in Europe, too.
And also...
He has 870 UCI points. I hope they don't think they get them. But he's a nice rider from Bardiani. So I'm glad he's got a step up to... A deserved step up to World Tour.
I think they're betting on African Continental Championships and Eritrean road race. Because that's where he can score 400 points. He won.
When's the African Games?
I don't know, but the African Continental Championships are in February, and that there he scored like 250 points, in 2023. So,
oh, it's in 2024, the Pan African Games in 24.
Ooh,
smart. Who else has signed? Arkea should have signed some Africans. I've been saying sign Gebregs could be the guy will get you fucking 400 points at the African Games alone.
Yeah,
if you're Arkea, he's also good in the French. I don't know what these teams are doing. The guy will ride for 70 grand. Maybe less, if you can pay him legally. African Games next year. It's free points. So, congrats. Good work with the Steiner getting Henok. But otherwise, I don't think this is enough. Like, Damar almost alone, Benji, is all these guys' points.
I agree. Fully agree.
Unless Gazzoli is really good. But the problem is Cav's a pure sprinter too, and they're building it all around Cav. So he doesn't score that many points. I know I'm talking about the points a lot, but frankly, like, think about it. If this team, right, gets relegated, they're not going to get any invites to much unless they got the wild cards in the last year. How appealing is it to sponsors? That's a team that, like, has been in the World Tour for a long time. No Tour de France invite, no Giro invite. Like, how appealing is that? Especially, and you know, classics, they might have the one days. That's going to be tough. So they really got to try not get relegated.
By the way, Lutsenko at the Olympic.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, yeah, that seems. Did Vino win the road race in 2012?
He won the Olympics. Was it not with Uran looking backwards? Or yeah. Am I stupid?
It's actually a good parkour for Lutsenko and Velasco, actually. Velasco, I think, is really good, frankly. I was shocked that no other team took him. Now, maybe they gave him a nice extension. Maybe he likes eating in what is mostly an Italian-run team. But he's really good. If you look at Amstel or Lee, I think Liège, wasn't he in the break? Then Tratnik joined him, and then he hung out with Tratnik for quite a while.
And I do not remember.
He's got other good results that are not sort of showing on... Oh, sorry, he's strong, and it's not showing on PCS. I think he's really good, and they needed his extension, and they got it. Yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
But yeah, what's the realistic aim? If you were setting their goals, Benji, for 2024, rather, what would you be setting as their goals?
If I'm Astana and I come from a transfer season where I build a train for Cavendish, the obvious goal of the season is to win a Tour de France stage with Cavendish. But despite that being the sponsor goal, the external goal, the realistic goal is that you're fighting against relegation at all costs. You're trying to get UCI points everywhere you can. And that's the thing they need to focus on, regardless of the other goals. They need to make sure they try and survive. And how realistic is that? How realistic is it for Astana to survive the relegation battle?
I mean, they're not even fighting against Arkea. They're fighting against DSM. Now, listen, if DSM are not that good either. If they lose Poole, but DSM have got a younger... Like, if Poole is quite... Turns out improves like 5%, yep, you're in trouble. But they also... They lost Riders. Oh, they got Jakobsen in. I don't know. I think it's... Maybe Astana can save themselves because I think they're going to play the system much more aggressively than DSM. Like, yep, they can triple stack. If they send... They're sending Umba, Tejada to... Tour Colombia. If they send Harold Lopez as well, that's three guys you can get in the top 10. I know it's a 2-1, but they 300. You start in January with 300 points that DSM don't have. Cavendish, and then you've got Pan African Games. Pardon?
Cavendish is going to Tour Colombia.
Yeah, that's a bit. They must be paying him. are people doing San Juan?
Ooh, I don't know, actually. I feel like everybody's going to Tour Colombia instead of San Juan this year.
Yeah, Bernal's doing it. And Bernal, Martinez, and Higuita are on the Colombian Nationals team. That team's stacked. Carapaz doing it. It's going to be a good race. It's always a good race. But, yeah, I think Astana are going to play the game a lot better than DSM. So, no, they don't have no chance.
Oh, my God.
If yes?
Vuelta a San Juan is no longer a UCI event in 2024.
Why is that?
San Juan is dead.
Damn.
That's devastating. Well, to be fair, the safety wasn't great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who was it? Remco. Remember Remco said on the interview with us, he was like, he thought it was over when they had that split divider. That was really bad. But yeah, Tour Colombia, I'm glad that's back. Fantastic race. Always great start list. And fantastic fans within reason. I think... Ballerini is like a wild card, Benji. Like, if they can get Velasco, Gazzoli to actually be really good in the sort of Italian semi-classics. Lushenko, he had a not the best year. Lushenko to be better. And then Ballerini's like okay in Kerner Omloop. Big if. Big yep. if. May and the Belgian semi-classics. Because right now, who was their best classics rider?
At the steam. No one.
In 23, it was no one. There was it didn't exist.
Lutsenko so, could be, Fedorov wasn't riding it, I think.
Yeah, Lutsenko is probably their best RVV rider, but Ballerini is now like a classic C sprinter. So can he top 10 at Gent-Wevelgem? So it's not all doom and gloom.
Yeah.
And so that's the points discussion. Winning a TDF stage with Cav, they've not hit. That's very publicly the goal. Do you like that they've rallied around that?
It's fun from a Cavendish fandom perspective. I like that he still has a team that puts everything on the line for him at this point in his career. Because the guy's 38, let's be honest about it. He's pretty fucking old for a cyclist. But he still delivers in some shit. He just won a Grand Tour stage in 2023. Yeah. So he's not completely washed. Which means that it's not impossible for a Tour de France stage to happen, as we've mentioned already. And that is also because he was so close in doing so again in 2023. That stage where Philipsen took over him when he had his shifting issue, Cavendish, then that shows to me that there's possibility of this happening. And yes, the Giro stage he won was, despite his own lead out, Thomas was his lead out, a different team was his lead out, and that's why he won, in my opinion. But in the Tour de France being so close without a real lead out there, then I reckon it's not impossible. So from a fandom side, I like it. From a team management side, I think it's a heavy, heavy bet, a major gamble, knowing that you're in the position you're in as a team when it comes to the relegation battle.
I mean, maybe they couldn't get a lot of other riders as well. Like, they, maybe they went after someone like Ben Healy and he didn't want to go there. So maybe that's... I'm surprised no other team went for Cav, but I guess there's also teams like Bahrain got burnt by Cav, so maybe they didn't want to put all their eggs in that basket. But yeah, winning and just being generally more competitive is a worthy goal in 2024. And winning something like Tre Valli Varesine, or more likely Gran Piemonte with Velasco or whoever, I think is a nice sort of goal to have. So yeah, that's your starter preview. I don't really have anything else on the
Tell
team.
Is Cavendish winning a Tour de France stage, and which one? If you remember the Tour de France stage, because I don't really remember the sprint. Is he winning a Tour de France stage?
He'll win the first sprint in week 2, so stage 10.
Okay, I believe he's going to.
Like Philipsen will be DQ'd by then.
I think he's going to win the last sprint in the first 2 weeks. I don't know which one. It might be the same stage. I don't know how many sprint stages there are in week 2. But I believe that they're making a mistake sending Cavendish only to the 4th Tour de France based on his current schedule. It being Colombia, UAE Tour, Tirreno, Milano-Torino, Classic Brugge de Ponens, Gelder Place, Tour de France. I think he needs to ride the first week of the Giro.
Why?
Because they need all the fucking wins
True,
they can get.
And there's a lot of points too, even for 4th. If you average 4th in the 4 sprints, that's like 300 points. I can't do the maths, but like...
Or will Gleb step up?
Gleb Saritsa, I hope so, the big unit.
Imagine, Milan and Gleb against each other on the Champs-Élysées in 2 years. The cobbles sparking Saritsa, out of the floor.
Saritsa would bury him.
There was earthquakes on the Champs-Élysées.
Yeah, I guess they got Ballerini, but he... I think I agree with you. They should. They should, but
they
I
won't.
Don't know. but I think they'll... Now that I actually worked through it, thought about their riders, thought about the potential schedule, thought about the Conti Champs and African Games, DSM really got a... And the other teams, like Astana, it's a big if, because also it's like... It's not just the scheduling. A lot of riders haven't been performing up to scratch either for various reasons. So, but if they get their shit together, Astana, they can make it back.
And they haven't been great for the last few years. It's not just this year.
It's been over 2 years.
Last year, they had zero Welter wins in 2022. In 2022, they had, for some reason, my mind was still in 2023. Zero Welter wins in 2022. Two.pro wins, yeah. Five wins in total. That's shocking. That's fucking abysmal. And then we look at 2023, it's an improvement from that. So they did step up from the year before, but they're going to need a big step up now. And that brings us to the amount of victories that Astana is going to get in World Tour in 2024. And the issue is that there's this guy in our comment section. Every single podcast that I release on YouTube, he writes down the amount of wins we have. And if I take a look at it, then it's not looking that amazing for us, I reckon. I'm trying to find it at the very moment, which I can't right now, which is bloody great. But I swear I've got like 20 wins left or something. And that is with two podcasts unreleased at the moment, in addition to this one and the F one that will also come out.
Okay.
So
it's Yanni Mengel. Unofficial LR 2024 LCP World Tour Win Predictions Tracker. So yeah,
am I fucked?
You got 23 left.
Okay, 23 left. That is including the last two podcasts we recorded, but y'all haven't seen yet because those weren't out yet.
True,
at the time
true.
Of this recording.
One. Who are we recording after this? EF.
Yes.
And Arno Dali exists.
Yes, and Israel will probably have a Derek G victory too.
Yeah. I don't think we're that far off.
I don't think so either. I think we're doing great.
It's not out yet. Bahrain?
Yeah. And
they win World Tour races. They don't win World Tour races.
So I think I had like 12 victories across those two or 11.
I think we're on
track. So I've got 12 left. I reckon I'm going to go for two World Tour wins for Astana.
I'm going to go with three. Three World Tour wins. But maybe it could be more. I don't know. I'm going to go higher. I'm going to go five World Tour wins for Astana. I'm going to go higher. That's almost a hot take. That doubles a hot take, I think. Five World Tour wins for Astana. I think Lutsenko wins the Olympic Games road race as well. Slap in the face of the classics guys, and that's steaming hot. And then negative, it's not a hot take to say. I think Hanok scores over 1,000 UCI points. I think what else does this team do? I think they have another major in-race incident. Either like a Fedorov punching somebody, Gasly giving the finger to the camera and getting suspended for that, to be clear. Or like, I think you're going to have another major blow-up or incident or whatever. I think that's on the cards.
Okay, what is my hot take? What is like a really hot take that I could find out? Problem is, it won't be realistic. I was gonna go for like Cavendish wins on Isola 2000, but I'm not that insane. So I'm looking at this team. I'm looking at Astana 2024, the team we just went through, and I'm seeing very limited
amounts.
Harold
Martin Lopez cleans Bernal in Tour Colombia.
That's realistic. That's not a hot take.
No, they're peaking for that.
I'm gonna go with. Oh my god. Lutsenko podiums the Olympics.
Wow, I said wins, but.
Did you say wins?
Yeah.
Oh fuck. Was that your hot take? Did I skip that completely?
Yeah.
Damn.
Just say Fortunato wins in Livigno. It's an easy
but he won't.
Layup.
Well, he's stagnated.
We can't believe.
I'm gonna go.
I'm cutting you off in 10 seconds.
Nicolas Vinokourov wins a Welter race.
That's a hot take. All right, that's the Astana Kazakhstan preview. They've got a lot of work to do. Let's see if they can do it in 2024. Jury is out on that, we think. Until the next one, ciao.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.